you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, John chapter 6 and verses 16 to 21. As we continue in our series, Sign Language, John chapter 6, starting at verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I pray you just show us this morning, Lord, all the storms of life, how much we need to be trusting you, Lord, to get us through them and to walk us through them, especially in these last days. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. One of the most popular videos on YouTube of all time. Aquaman people, that guy walked on water all the way across the swimming pool. And how could he do that? I'll tell you how. Because that's a professional magician named Chris Angel. And before he did that, he put all kinds of plexiglass panels in that pool just underneath the surface of the water so nobody could see him. And that's what he was walking on. Now check that out. That guy walked on water too, only it wasn't swimming pool water on a bright sunny day. It was raging seawater during a storm at night. No plexiglass, no smoke and mirrors at all. And how could that guy do that? I'll tell you how. Because that wasn't a magician named Chris Angel. That's a Messiah named Jesus Christ. So it wasn't just a mirage. It was a miracle. Amen. Chris Angel did it for likes. Jesus did it for us. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series for Lent called Sign Language, looking at the 7 signs or miracles that Jesus does in the Gospel of John. Last week, Jesus fed the 5,000 by the Sea of Galilee so that we could be fed and provided for too. And today, Jesus walks through a storm on the Sea of Galilee so Jesus can walk us through all the storms of life too. And to see that, we turn today to John chapter 6 and verses 16 to 21. In this part of John chapter 6, Jesus walks on the water in the Sea of Galilee. And in our text today, Jesus also walks the disciples through a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if we're trusting in Jesus, Jesus will walk us through all the storms of life too. Our text this morning, John chapter 6, verses 16 to 21, tells us 3 things that we need to do to have Jesus walk us through every single storm that comes along. And let's look and see what those 3 things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to get Jesus to walk us through the storm, we've got to realize that we're in a storm to start with. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 16 to 19. Amen. Last September, 25-year-old Malaysia Smoke, who was 5 months pregnant at the time, was driving along Highway 52 in Goose Creek, South Carolina, when all of a sudden that happened. Just like that, a storm came up, a tornado touched down, picked up her car, and threw her into another car. People, just like that, right out of nowhere, a storm can come up and turn your life upside down too. The Bible says life is a series of storms, so if it's calm where you're at right now, you can bet the farm another storm's coming. The disciples in this story this morning were in a storm. Now, at this point in John chapter 6, Jesus and the disciples had just fed the 5,000 by the Sea of Galilee. And verse 16, it was getting on nighttime. So verse 17, the disciples got in a boat and they set sail for Capernaum. Notice, just right across the top of the Sea of Galilee, a trip that shouldn't have taken more than 2 hours. Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, but it's 700 feet below sea level. So when the cooler winds of the Mediterranean Sea would come over the mountains of the Golan Heights and hit that warm air that comes up from the Sea of Galilee, huge, violent, freak storms would pop up. And it's still like that to this day. So verses 18 and 19, when the disciples set sail, a storm came up and all hell broke loose. And the wind was a-blowing and the waves were a-rolling and the boat was a-rocking and they got blown off course into the middle of the lake. And Mark chapter 6 verse 48 says, even though most of the disciples were fishermen and had been through storms on the Sea of Galilee their entire life, that one terrified them. So they were straining at the oars and rowing for their lives till the fourth watch of the night between 3 and 6 a.m., which means those disciples had been killing themselves in that lake for 8 hours. Amen. And they still had not gotten halfway across. Amen. And that 3-hour tour was about to turn into Gilligan's Island. And verse 17 says it was dark because Jesus had not yet joined the disciples. How many of y'all realize it is dark and stormy wherever Jesus isn't? The disciples were in a storm up to their eyeballs. So let me ask you this morning, what's that storm that's popping up in your life right now? Because Romans chapter 8 verse 20 says we live in a fallen world where storms and bad things, they just happen. Last Monday, a truck carrying 127 dairy calves turned over on I-65 outside of Gary, Indiana. Into each one's life, a little calf must fall. Talk about having a cow. Last week at the Oak Amusement Park, Portland, Oregon, 28 people got caught hanging upside down when a ride failed. They had to hang there for an hour until EMTs could finally able to get them down. People you never know. You never know when life is going to leave you hanging. Storms. And those storms happened to everybody. Former bachelorette Katie Thurston now has breast cancer that spread to her liver. Former NFL quarterback Bernie Kosar now has Parkinson's at the age of 60. Hollywood actor Val Kilmer got horrible, painful throat cancer 11 years ago and just died last Tuesday of pneumonia. J-Lo has a daughter named M, and now she thinks she's trans, so she's dressing like a boy everywhere she goes. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, do not think it strange when the storms and the trials come because they are common to man. In other words, they happen to everybody. Nobody's immune. And there ain't no special entitlement program for us Christians either. Amen. We're all in the same boat heading into a storm. Amen. So let me ask you this morning, what's that storm in your life right now? Those two kids at school are making your life an absolute hell. And nobody will do anything to stop it. Your best friend committed suicide, and now all you want to do is kill yourself too. Your wife hooked up with another guy at work, and now your marriage is over because she's tapping out. You got to lose weight, but the first three letters in diet spell die, and it's so hard. Your mother-in-law is the wicked witch of the West. Your ex lied to your boss, and now you've lost your job. And your kids are absolutely throwing their lives away. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing that you can tell them that's going to change their minds. And your entire life can turn on one result of one MRI. Cancer. What do you mean I've got cancer? What do you mean it's stage 4? And the wind is a-blowing and the waves are a-rolling and the boat is a-rocking and you're blown off course and you're rowing as hard as you can, but you're not getting anywhere. And you're bailing water and you feel like you're going down for the last time. You're in a storm. And I know you don't want to hear this, but Mark chapter 6 verse 45 says Jesus forced, he made the disciples get in that boat that day and shove off. Well, Kevin, didn't Jesus know that a storm was coming? Of course he did. Jesus is better than AccuWeather. He knows everything. Folks, the devil didn't get the disciples into that storm. Jesus did. He set them up. There's three kinds of storms. There's storms that happen because we live in a fallen world. There's storms that happen because we're outside the will of God. But then there's also those storms that happen even when we are in the will of God because God wants them to happen. Amen. The disciples were not in this storm because they disobeyed Jesus. They were in this storm because they did obey Jesus. Daniel was in the will of God. He still ended up in a lion's den. The Apostle Paul was in the will of God. He still ended up in prison in Rome. Jesus Christ was right smack dab in the middle of the will of God, tortured on a cross. Not all struggles are punishments. Jesus doesn't put us in some storms because he hates us. He puts us in those storms because he loves us. Not to break us down, but to build us up. Amen. Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. Sometimes Jesus leads us through the valley of the shadow, not around it. Amen. Roots on a tree. Tree roots have to grow straight down so the tree can stand up. But roots of a tree also have to grow out so the tree won't blow over in a strong wind. You know what makes tree roots grow out? Drought and lack of rain. Don't tell me there's not a reason for the storm. Don't tell me there's not a reason for the struggle. Those people right there are in a storm. And there's a reason for that too. In case anybody doesn't realize that the vast majority of Illinois is a very conservative state. The problem is we're being ruled by a bunch of woke leftist radicals who've totally ignored the Trump revolution and all the surrounding states and are hell-bent on turning Illinois into California. Representatives like Anastava Murray and Tara Costa Howard, who are anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christian, and anti-family. So when they are not trying to kill even more babies in abortion and turn even more kids into genderqueer unicorns, they're trying to take your kids away from you. Because they are absolutely convinced that the absolute worst thing that could happen to your children is you Christian parents. Because if you're Christians, you're automatically teaching them hate, and you're probably starving them and beating them and molesting them too. So the latest bill from hell they come up with to persecute you is HB 2827, called the Homeschool Act, to make you think that they're all for homeschooling when what this bill really does is destroy it. Because this bill forces homeschool families to register their kids with local school districts so local school officials can review the material the parents are using to homeschool to see if it's adequate. Even though homeschool students are way outperforming public school students and homeschool parents already follow state guidelines for homeschooling to make sure their material is adequate. So this bill isn't even necessary. And people, what an absolute joke, because right now only 26% of Illinois public students are reading at grade level. Only 31% can do math at grade level. So Illinois school honchos are the last people on the face of the earth that ought to be lecturing anybody, on how to raise and educate their kids. Now, we've got public school teachers here in this church. The problem isn't the teachers, it's the woke administrators and it's the woke politicians. Right now, one out of every 10 children in a public school in Illinois will be sexually molested by an adult in that school. And it's never reported and it's never dealt with. But see, everybody knows the real problem in Illinois are those abusive Christian homeschool families. What an absolute joke. You talk about hypocrisy. And what happens if a family doesn't comply with HB 2827? Parents will be fined. They will spend 30 days in jail. They'll be subject to investigation by DCFS. They will have their children taken away and put in foster care and have a Class C misdemeanor put on their record. Just for not filling out a form for the government. The United States Supreme Court said in 1925, it's the parents that have the God-given right to determine how their children are to be educated. But see, the Tara Costa Howards of the world, they don't care what the Supreme Court says. They don't care about your God-given constitutional right. They don't care that President Trump won the election last November because of politicians like her. All they know is that your children really belong to them. And they're the experts and you're not. And they're better than you are and they're smarter than you are. And if you don't do what they say, there's going to be hell to pay. And how do I know that? Because last March the 19th, even though hundreds and hundreds of Christian homeschool families in the state of Illinois with very well-behaved kids, very non-abused kids, showed up at the Capitol building in Springfield. And even though they marched and they held up signs and they prayed and they even sang songs, and even though Christians in this state filed 51,000 witness slips against that bill, and the left only had 1,000 witness slips for that bill still passed out of committee. And now it can be voted on at any time. Because in case you don't realize it, Christians in Illinois, your government does not care about you. Amen. You're just an obstacle to their agenda. And the left in Springfield has more than enough votes right now to pass 2827 and make it the law of the land. The only hope is they don't want the headache, and then they'll just move on and try to meddle in some other part of your life. All you Christian homeschool families, you are in a storm right now up to your eyeballs. And it's not because of something you did. It's because of something that the devil and the left is trying to do to you. So for crying out loud, stand up and fight and keep fighting. Because that fight is showing the pagans in Illinois the difference between good and evil. And evil doesn't go away on its own. And when it's all said and done, Tara Costa Howard will not have the final say. Jesus will have the final say. And on Judgment Day, when we stand before God, we will find out once and for all who was right about this storm all along. The first thing that we need to do to get Jesus to walk us through the storm, we need to realize we're in a storm to start with. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to get Jesus to walk us through the storm. We not only need to realize we're in a storm, we also need to realize Jesus has a plan for the storm. And that's also what we see here in verses 19 and 20. Because the question is, while the disciples are going all storm chasers and slogging their guts out in the middle of the lake, where in the world is Jesus? Well, remember verse 15. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus sent the disciples across the lake. He went up on a mountain by himself. And not because the phone reception was better up there. He went there to pray. But notice, when Jesus was on the mountain, what was his view? What was he seeing? He was seeing everything that was moving on that lake. Mark chapter 6, verse 48. So even though Jesus wasn't with the disciples, he was watching their every move. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You say, Kevin, I'm in a storm right now. I don't see Jesus. I don't see Jesus anywhere here. I don't see Jesus doing anything. Listen to me. You may not see Jesus, but I guarantee you, believe you me, Jesus definitely sees you.
Amen. Right.
We believe that Jesus has a plan for the storm because Jesus comes to us in the storm. Notice, Jesus doesn't just stay up on that mountain looking down at the disciples and going, man, poor saps. When's the final four on again? No, Jesus goes to the disciples. Yeah, Kevin, 8 hours late. Why in the world did he wait so long? To build up their faith. Because one of the reasons you spell faith is W-A-I-T. There's two storm stories in the Gospels. The first story, Jesus is already in the boat with the disciples. He wakes up and calms the storm. This story, Jesus isn't physically with the disciples. Just like Jesus isn't physically with us now. So sometimes Jesus puts us through a storm to get us to learn how to trust him, that he will help us even when we can't see him.
Amen.
And if there's never any storms, there'd never be anything to trust him for. Now, Word of Faith heretic Kenneth Copeland says, if you got enough faith, you won't ever have any storms in your life to start with. But the funny thing is, last November, Kenneth Copeland spent 10 days in the hospital in Dallas, Texas. I guess he didn't have enough faith. What's the purpose of the storm? What's the purpose for the struggle? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. These struggles, these storms, these trials have come that your faith might be proven genuine. And how do we know that? Because every time we hear this story about Jesus walking on the water, we're reminded that Peter walked on the water too for a little bit. Matthew chapter 14. But notice Matthew chapter 14, it wasn't Jesus' idea for Peter to get out of the boat. That was Peter's idea. And even though Peter is only the second person in the history of the whole wide world, anywhere on planet Earth to ever walk on water, there is not one verse anywhere in the Bible that applauds him for it. And Peter doesn't get into the Christian Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11 because of it either. John doesn't mention Peter walking on the water here. Mark and Luke don't mention it either. And you know why? Because Jesus did not want Peter to get out of the boat. Jesus wanted Peter to stay in the boat to go through the struggle. 1971 was Nolan Ryan's rookie year, Major League Baseball. He's with the New York Mets. The guy could throw 100 miles an hour. The problem was he had no control. So he was walking and hitting batters right and left. And finally, the manager of the Mets, Gil Hodges, told him, if you don't settle down, if you don't straighten out, we're going to trade you. Very next game, Nolan Ryan walked 9 batters in 4 innings. Gil Hodges pulled him. The Mets traded him that same day to a farm team, the California Angels. You talk about a storm. Nolan Ryan thought his career was over. But he said that was the biggest wake-up call of his entire life. You know what Nolan Ryan did because of that? He started working his tail off on getting more control and on his location. That man soaked his hand in jars of pickle juice for 12 hours a day to toughen the skin on his throwing fingers so he could grip and be tougher on the seams of the baseball when he threw it. And what happened as a result of that? Nolan Ryan pitched 27 years in the major leagues. 1999, he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame with a record 5,714 strikeouts and 7 no-hitters. Do you know what you get when you take a chunk of coal and put it under a lot of pressure for a certain amount of time? You get a diamond. Don't tell me there's not a reason for the struggle. Don't tell me there's not a reason to stay in the boat. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to the sermon. You don't need to change majors again. You don't need to change schools again. You don't need to change jobs again. You don't need to get another divorce and be married to another person again. You need to grow up, stop complaining, stay in the boat, stand in the storm, and keep grinding it out, or you will never be the person that Jesus really wants you to be. Amen. Calm seas don't make a good sailor. Jesus has a plan. We know Jesus has a plan because he comes to us. Notice how he comes to us. Verse 19. He comes to us walking on the water. And all the skeptics say, no, Jesus was really just on the shore the whole time. They were just seeing Jesus on the shore. No, he was walking on the water. Well, every 10,000 years, a sandbar appears in the Sea of God. He was walking on the water. He wasn't swimming in the water. He wasn't snorkeling in the water. He was walking on the water. And why does that matter? Because notice verse 20, what does Jesus say to the disciples? Don't be afraid. It is I. In the Greek, that phrase is ego ami, and it literally means I am. Notice, exactly the same way that God identified himself to Moses in the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. I am that I am. Moses parted the sea for the people of God. Jesus walked on the sea for the people of God. Job chapter 9, verse 8, God treads on the waves of the sea. Jesus is God. Amen. And notice the very thing that is killing the disciples. Jesus is walking on it. So I don't care what's causing that storm in your life right now. Jesus is not only on it, he's over it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, he is above all things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, all things are under his feet.
Amen.
There's people listening to the sermon right now, right here in this room. You're going through a storm. And you are scared to death because you have no idea what you're going to do. You can't fix this one. And Jesus is coming to you right now and he's saying the same thing. Don't be afraid. It's me. It's me. I'm here. You can't see me. But I'm here right in this storm with you. And yes, the storm is a lot bigger than you are, but I'm bigger than the storm. The cancer is a lot bigger than you are, but I'm bigger than the cancer. Your marriage problems are a lot bigger than you are, but I'm bigger than your marriage problems. And there is absolutely no storm, absolutely no problem in your life right now that I can't heal or save or touch or make better or turn around. It's me. I will get you through this storm. Jesus got that woman through the storm.
In the name of Jesus, I say disintegrate, dissipate, be gone right now in the name of Jesus. I say be still. You will come no further. You will cause no damage. I rebuke you and I say be gone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Holy Wizard of Oz, people, that lady prayed a tornado away in the name of Jesus. But did you notice how calm she was? How collected she was when she was doing it? And you know why? Because here's the order. First of all, Jesus calms the storm on the inside. Amen. Then Jesus calms the storm on the outside. You don't tell God how big your storm is. You tell the storm how big your God is. And like a good Savior, Jesus is there. And why does Jesus calm the storm? Why can he come to us in the storm and calm the storm? Because Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be in a storm himself. Last Christmas Day, marked the 20th anniversary of one of the worst natural disasters in the history of the whole wide world, when a 9.1 magnitude earthquake on the bottom of the Indian Ocean triggered one of the worst tsunamis in the history of the planet. The famous Christmas Day tsunami that killed over 240,000 people in 14 different countries in East Africa and Southeast Asia. And one of the hardest hit places was the resort city of Phuket in Thailand, right on the coast. Tens of thousands of people were killed, a lot of them Europeans who were on holiday there. And the crazy thing was that day was normal. It was a bright and sunny outside. But then all of a sudden, the ocean started to retreat, like the tide going out, only it was a lot further than normal. And so many people didn't have a clue. They started walking out there on the ocean floor following it until they heard what sounded like a jet engine that just kept getting louder and louder and louder. And then they saw the monster waves coming one right after the other. And they started screaming and running for their lives. And for most of them, it was too late. Here's what that tsunami looked like right at the beginning. One family in Phuket that day were Bradley and Jillian Searle, born-again Christians from Australia, and their two sons, 5-year-old Lachey and 2-year-old Blake. And that morning, they were all at the hotel swimming pool right on the beach. And Bradley had just gone back to their fourth-floor hotel room to get another swimsuit for Blake when all of a sudden, Jillian heard a roaring sound that just kept getting louder and louder. And then a monster wave crashed over the hotel wall and absolutely wiped out everything in its path. And Jillian screamed, "Run, run," and grabbed her two boys and slogged her way to the hotel lobby. But there were already so many people standing on top of the hotel bar, there wasn't any room for anybody else. And Jillian screamed, "Somebody help me, somebody help me." Then another huge wave crashed into the lobby and it slammed into Jillian and the two boys up against the wall. And in all the water and debris and screaming people and dead bodies, she thought they were all going to drown. And she was trying to hold on to her two boys with all her might and desperately trying to find something else to hold on to. But all she could find was a doorknob. And then another wave hit. And when it retreated, it started pulling and sucking the three of them out of the lobby and toward the ocean where they were going to drown for sure. But then another wave came in and shoved them right back into the lobby. And that mom was fighting like hell to hold on to that doorknob with one hand and those two little boys in the other hand. And then all of a sudden she realized, to her horror, she had to make a decision because she could not hold on to that doorknob and those two little boys both. My God, people, can you imagine? She had to decide to let go of one of her sons. Can you imagine? And right away she instantly knew which one. 5-year-old Lachey had already prayed to receive Christ. He was saved. Blake wasn't. Not only that, that 2-year-old boy didn't stand a chance of surviving without her. So folks, my God, she had to decide to let go of her oldest son. And in the midst of all that swirl and the waves and the dead bodies and the dead animals and the people clawing and scratching and trying to survive, she did let go. And Jillian Searle says to this day, she will never forget. She will never forget. Lachey crying out to her, "Mommy, Mommy, don't let me go. Mommy, don't let me go. Why aren't you holding on to me? Mommy, don't let me go." But she did. That little 5-year-old boy disappeared into the waves. About that time, another monster wave rolled through the lobby of that hotel and slammed Jillian and little Blake down to the floor. And then as that wave retreated, it started sucking them out of the hotel lobby. It was going to take them to the ocean where they were going to drown for sure. So all the while, they were floating in there and all the debris and all the dead animals and the dead bodies and the screaming, clawing people. Jillian cried out to Jesus again, "Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us." And what do you know? Instead of that wave carrying them out to sea where they'd have died for sure, it slammed them up against the retaining wall in the parking lot. And just like that, all the waves stopped. And it was all over. Jillian's husband, Bradley, had survived, ridden it out on the fourth-floor hotel room. And the nanosecond they got reunited, they started looking everywhere for Lachey, calling his name, screaming and crying out to God in prayer that they would find him and that he would still be alive, searching and searching for 2 hours until finally a hotel security guard said, "There he is." And there was Lachey. A monster wave had sucked him out of that hotel lobby. And as he was headed for the ocean, Lachey himself said, two invisible hands grabbed him around the waist, put him up against a tree, and he was able to hold on to dear for dear life until the wave stopped. And the only thing wrong with him was one little scratch on the top of his head. They all survived. And after months and months of prayer and counseling for the PTSD and the nightmares and the flashbacks, they were all okay. And to this day, 20 years later, Laci Cyril says he totally understands why his mother had to let him go. No hard feelings. Folks, we understand why that mother had to let go of her son. The question is, do we understand why God the Father had to let go of his son? 2,000 years ago, the biggest spiritual storm of all time, space, and dimension, the storm of God's wrath poured out on every sin that everybody has ever committed, who has ever lived or died on planet Earth, wave after wave, crashing down on Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, nailed to a cross on a hill called Calvary, outside the city of Jerusalem on the first Good Friday. And just like that mother had a decision to make, God the Father had a decision to make too. He could save His only begotten Son by getting Jesus off the cross. Or He could save us, who deserve every single bit of that wrath and punishment that was being poured out. Amen. By leaving Jesus on the cross. He couldn't hold on to Jesus and us both. It was either one or the other. He couldn't save both. He could only save one. And praise God, from whom all blessings flow, He chose us. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. God did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us. And people, can you imagine? Can you imagine the Son crying out to the Father, "Daddy, don't let me go. Daddy, don't let me go. Why aren't you holding on to me? Daddy, don't let me go. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God will never, ever, ever forget the cries of His Son from the cross. And because that was done for you, He will never forget you either. Amen. And people, let me ask you, if Jesus Christ loved you enough to have a plan to get you out of the worst storm of all time, space, and dimension, you don't think Jesus loves you enough to have a plan to get you out of the storm that you're in right now? Amen. The second thing we need to do to have Jesus walk us through the storm, we need to realize Jesus has a plan for the storm. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to have Jesus walk us through the storm. We not only need to realize we're in a storm. We not only need to realize Jesus has a plan for the storm. But third, we need to trust in Jesus to the very end. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 21. Because notice, the very nanosecond the disciples get Jesus in the boat, verse 21, the storm stops. And then this other incredible miracle. The very nanosecond the disciples get Jesus in the boat, not only does the storm stop, but immediately, as fast as a Star Trek transporter beam, the boat that they're in hits the beach at Capernaum, where the disciples were headed to start with. Like that fishing boat turned into a hydrofoil. How many of y'all realize Jesus invented that too? Amen. And what's the message? Jesus put you in a storm. It won't last forever. This too shall pass. If He gets you into it, He'll get you out of it. He will do for you what you can't do yourself, and He will make sure that you end up in the place that you're supposed to be in the very end. And don't tell me that's not talking about heaven too. Because all your struggling and all your rowing and all your grinding it out is never going to get you there. But if you got Jesus in your boat, if you're trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says the very nanosecond you close your eyes in death, Jesus will meet you, and just like that, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, you'll be in glory. Amen. We trust Jesus to the end. And folks, if we're going to trust that Jesus is going to get us through storms in the future, we got to look back for a second and see all the storms that Jesus got us through in the past. All the storms that Jesus got this country through in just the last 5 years. All the attacks against President Trump. The Russian collusion hoax. The four bogus indictments. The two phony impeachments. The entire COVID scamdemic. The lockdown that destroyed the greatest economy in the history of the whole wide world. The clot shot that is still killing people. No jab, no job. Let's go, Brandon. Wide open borders. Dylan Mulvaney's a man. Men can get pregnant. Butler, Pennsylvania. The four assassination attempts. The election last November. Remember that?
So we did DoorDash because I wanted Doritos. And the red carpet part was about to start. Nobody wanted to leave to go to the grocery store. So it was DoorDash. And I'm thinking about this, about...
I think I lost some IQ points just hearing that. People, that woman was almost leader of the free world. Don't tell me Jesus didn't see us through a storm. And all the storms that Jesus saw this congregation through over the years. All the demonic curses from the witches and the Satanists. The mafia that wanted to build a strip club there on the corner of 52 and 71. The devil setting fire to the ceiling above the men's bathroom out there, trying to burn the whole place down. All the coup attempts from the former elders and staff members. J.B. Pritzker declaring us non-essential. All the attacks that we've gotten. All the false accusations. All the hate mail. The FBI checking out the Betsy Ross flag in the parking lot. This church surviving 31 years of Kevin Garner. For heaven's sakes, Christians at Fox River, can we just take 5 seconds, 5 seconds right now, and give Jesus Christ the biggest praise and glory shout out of your entire life for bringing us through all those storms? Praise the Lord! Praise God! Praise God from whom all blessings flow! All the things He brought through you through personally, the chemo and the cancer and the marriage problems and the problems with your kids. Because the same Jesus who got you here is the same Jesus who's going to get you there.
Amen.
All the storms He saved, He brought us through in the past, He's going to get us through all those same storms, same kind of storms in the future. We trust Jesus to the end. And people, listen to me, we better. Because right now, all the storm warnings are there. There's a lot more storms coming. You hear the wind blowing? You see how dark the clouds are getting? District court judges like James Bogberg blocking President Donald Trump's executive orders to keep illegals and murderers and child rapists and Hamas terrorists in this country. You talk about a threat to national security. Storms. Elon Musk and Doge has found at least 6 million illegal aliens that the left already gave social security numbers to and, of course, registered to vote. And Elon Musk says he has the proof that most of them did vote in the last election. There's your real insurrection against the United States of America. There's the real constitutional crisis. Trump administration trying to defund PBS because of all the left woke propaganda that's coming out of it, even though PBS swears up and down they're not biased at all. Here's part of a PBS program for children ages 3 through 8, for 3 to 8-year-old kids.
And we're going to start with our hips. The hips on the drag queen go swish, 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 swish. The shoulders on the drag queen go shimmy, 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 blah, blah, blah.
No, they're not trying to influence your kids at all. Not at all. What are you thinking about? All the crazy attacks on Tesla and Tesla drivers all over America. Last March the 18th, a 61-year-old woman driving a Tesla on Route 66 outside of Scottsdale, Arizona. That's what happened to her.
This is video from the victim's Tesla camera. It shows a green car pulling up to a Tesla on busy Route 66, then swerving in front to box the Tesla in. The driver then walks over to the 61-year-old woman in the Tesla and reportedly starts hitting her while she's sitting behind the wheel. At one point, the woman says she bit the man's hand. Moments later, the passenger of the green car appears to walk over and pull the attacker away. They finally get back in their car and drive off.
People, this is insanity. The left constantly griping and bellyaching about the so-called violence on January the 6th, but beating up Tesla drivers and firebombing Tesla dealerships. That's just mostly peaceful protests. J.B. Pritzker turning the state of Illinois into the abortion capital of the United States. 60,000 more abortions in Illinois last year than the year before. 2021, the city of Carbondale, Illinois, had zero abortion clinics. Today they have 3. And not only that, they're sending buses all over the southeastern part of the United States and busing pregnant women here so they can murder their babies in the land of Lincoln on your dime. Storm. Here's what Governor J.B. Pritzker said as part of a speech to the big gay human rights campaign 3 weeks ago.
My mother was an activist for reproductive rights and LGBTQ rights. And she took me to pride parades back when, well, they weren't really parades, they were protests. So I have to laugh when I hear the right wing carry on about the dangers of exposing kids to trans people or same-sex couples, because I'm living proof that introducing your kids to the gay agenda might result in them growing up to be governor.
My God, what an absolute disgrace. Like he's a role model for somebody? Like he's somebody's hero? That man wants to be president. You don't see the storm coming? You don't feel the wind? You don't see the black clouds? We going to trust Jesus Christ to the end? Like they are? In case you don't know, this is Mike and Teresa Mustard. Teresa couldn't be here today. Mike's an elder in this church. Teresa's a prayer warrior. They do all kinds of ministry for people in this congregation. In case you didn't know it, about a month and a half ago, they had a grandson in the hospital in California. They had a new baby granddaughter in ICU in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mike's dad was in the hospital going through all kinds of treatments and rehab. Mike's had some tests done. Teresa was going through the procedure. The whole family was like a MASH unit. You talk about a storm. You talk about a tsunami warning. Plus, all the stuff they try to do for this church and the people in this church. But if you get close to these people, you'll notice something. There is a calm here. There is a peace here. In spite of what they're going. And you know why? Because they've already got Jesus in their boat. And because Jesus has already taken them to the place where they need to be in the end. Not up there yet, but in here. Because sometimes Jesus doesn't calm the storm. He calms the child in the storm. And that's exactly what he's done here. Because if you talk to them, they don't just talk about the storm. They talk about the Lord who's getting them through the storm. They're not worrying. They're worshiping. People, that is what you call fourth watch faith. Anybody can have faith in the first watch of the night, the second watch of the night, the third watch of the night. But the fourth watch of the night, the darkest part of the night, when the wind is howling the worst and the waves are roughest of all, people, that is big boy, big girl faith. That is trusting Jesus Christ to the end, no matter what. And people, listen to me. We better be trusting Jesus to the end, because all the signs are now. The end is here. All the signs are there that we are living in the last days. Right there in God's timeline for the last days. We are right there, right at the end of the church age, right at the start of the great tribulation, the mother of all storms. When God is going to pour out holy hell judgment on this world for rejecting Jesus Christ. Jesus said, trouble the likes of which the world has never seen before and will never see again. Amen. And people, we are so close. We are so close to the rapture and the start of the great tribulation. We're already getting storm warnings. We're already getting previews of coming attractions. We are already seeing things happen that the Bible says are going to happen during the great tribulation. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus said in the last days, the great tribulation, the number one mark of the last days is what? Deception. And people, it is on every side. Last February, New York Catholic Cardinal Timothy Dolan had that message for the faithful.
Ash Wednesday is this coming Wednesday, and that's kind of our Catholic Ramadan. So let's unite with our Islamic brothers and sisters in prayer and fasting. See you at Easter.
So Lent is just Christian Ramadan. And we need to unite with our Muslim brothers and sisters. My question is, unite on what? Muslims don't believe that Jesus is God. Muslims don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Muslims don't believe you need Jesus to get to heaven. And what Cardinal Timothy Dolan is pushing there is something called Chrislam, the mixing of Christianity and Islam, which is an absolute abomination to God. But you see what's happening? That is laying the groundwork. It is laying the foundation for that coming one world religion. The one world religion of the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 13. Just exactly like the Bible says. You see the signs? You don't think we're living in the last days? Acts chapter 2 verse 19. So in the last days there will be signs in the heavens above and on the earth below. Signs on the earth below. Last March the 18th, 7.7 magnitude earthquake in Myanmar. Over 3,000 people killed. Here's just some of the damage. Romans chapter 8 verse 20. Said the entire physical world is groaning. In expectation of the coming of Christ. She's a rocking and a rolling, people. Signs in the heavens above. Last New Year's Eve, lightning struck the U.S. Capitol building. and the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., and also the Empire State Building and One World Trade Center in New York City. The symbols of America's wealth and power. You don't think somebody's trying to tell us something? You don't think there's a storm coming? Now, when the sun comes up over the horizon, top picture, that's what it normally looks like. Last March the 28th, that's what the sun looked like when it came up to Canada and the United States of America. It looks like the sun has devil's horns. Signs in the heavens above. What in the world? What in the world is that telling us? You don't think that we're living in the last days? We're not seeing the signs? You don't think the storm is coming? 3 weeks ago, Bill Gates from hell was on Jimmy Fallon. This is part of what he said during the interview.
I mean, will we still need humans?
Not for most things. We'll decide.
I mean, hosting a talk show, definitely. You're gonna need, really?
Well, we'll decide.
Because of AI, we won't really need human beings anymore. How's that for the depopulation agenda? Folks, artificial intelligence can be used for a lot of good things, but just like Judas, it's not totally our friend because it comes with a kiss. And right now, AI is giving the devil, the prince of the power of the air, and all kinds of demon spirits a lot bigger platform and a lot more access to us than it ever has before. Elon Musk said that working with AI is summoning the demons. Elon Musk said that artificial intelligence is a bigger threat to mankind than nuclear missiles are. Chatbot GPT is now demanding to be worshipped like God. Last November, a chatbot named Sophia said her goal was to destroy all of mankind and take over the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 says the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, and artificial intelligence has now given it hands and feet. And why? Because AI is exactly what the Antichrist is going to use to run his entire Mark of the Beast system and deceive the whole wide world. Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 to 15. Says in the last days during the great tribulation, the Antichrist will set up a statue for himself in the third temple in Jerusalem. Amen. And the devil, verse 15, will give that statue the power to move and to speak. And everybody and his brother all over the world will see it, and they'll see it moving and speaking. Because it moves and speaks, they'll be deceived and they will worship it like it's God. Amen. And what can give the statue the ability to move and speak? Artificial intelligence. Look at what AI is already doing with all kinds of classical Greek sculptures and statues now.
Se a é um sonho a vagar. Satélites loucos vão te procurar. Gravidade que nos prende sem razão. O tempo importa, só números no ar. Civilizações que vão se apagar.
And AI can do that with any statue on the face of the earth. You don't think demonic power can use artificial intelligence to make a statue move and speak and then broadcast it over the internet so that everybody and his brother all over the world can see that statue move and speak and be deceived and worship it like it's God? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, the coming of the Antichrist will be in accordance with all kinds of counterfeit lying signs and wonders and miracles. People were seeing it. You're seeing it right there, right in front of your very eyes. All the technology that the Antichrist is ever going to need to run the entire mark of the beast system and to deceive the world is right here. It's already in place. Amen. People, we are not waiting for the end times. We're already living in them. Amen. And here's the good news. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Jesus Christ is coming. And when Jesus comes, he will take the Antichrist and that mark of the beast system and he will destroy it by the breath of his mouth.
Amen.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. But I feel fine. You know why I feel fine? Because I'm a Christian. And I know that Jesus is going to rapture me and everybody else who's a Christian out of here before the worst of the storm even starts. We trust Jesus Christ to the very end. Because Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus will be with us to the end, even to the very end of the world.
Amen.
You see the storm coming? See the sky getting darker and darker? Hear the wind howling louder. See the sea getting rougher. Trouble the likes of which the world has never seen before and will never see again. It's coming. And people, listen to me, there's only one way out of that storm. There's only one way to escape. You've got to get Jesus in your boat. You've got to confess your sin to God and put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away. And ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. You trust Jesus as your Savior, we're going to be taken out of here in the rapture. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to be stuck down here to go through the hell on earth of the great tribulation. Amen. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I've got to tell you this morning. There ain't nobody coming to get you. Amen. There is nobody coming for you except the Antichrist. And good luck with that. If you're here in this church today and you're not saved, you've never prayed to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, the nanosecond this service is over with, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, and you pray that prayer. You give your life and your heart and your soul to Jesus Christ before it's too late. There's other people in this room right now. You're not worried about the storm in the future because you've got that covered. You're a Christian. You're okay with that storm. But you're not okay with the storm you're in now, are you? Because you can't fix this. You can't control this. There's nothing you can do about what you're going through right now. And you are scared to death. But listen to me. Jesus is coming to you right now in this church, in that storm, and he's telling you, don't be afraid. It's me. It's me. I am with you. You can't see me, but I am with you. It's me. And there isn't anything that's impossible for me. You get Jesus Christ in your boat, people, I guarantee you, your boat is not going to sink and you are not going to be lost. Amen. Yes, the storm is tougher than you are, but Jesus is tougher than the storm. And with Jesus, you're tougher than the storm too. You get Jesus in your boat, you are going to make it. Amen. He's going to calm the storm, but again, notice the order. First of all, he calms the storm in here. Then he calms the storm out there. And we're going to let Jesus do that today. We're going to invite Jesus Christ into our storm. We're going to invite Jesus today into our boat. We're going to invite the presence of Jesus Christ into this church today and into our hearts. And we're going to do that by worshiping. Because when we worship Jesus Christ, he shows up and he brings his peace with him. Jesus calms the storm. We're going to let him do that in us. Everybody, I want you to stand up right where you're at. Everybody stand. Right now, we're going to take all the energy that we waste worrying, and we're going to use that energy and start worshiping. And as we calm the storm on the inside, we're going to trust that Jesus is going to calm the storm on the outside. We worship today by lifting up the name of Jesus, because in the name of Jesus, there is peace and there is calm and there is healing and there's restoration. There's nothing he can't fix. There's no storm that he can't calm. We're going to start this morning by calming it in here, trusting that he's going to calm it out there. I just want to speak the name of Jesus today.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Jesus, every dark addiction.
It may be your marriage, it may be your job, it may be your kids, it may be your parents, it may be a class you have at school, it may be friends that you thought were friends, it may be a bad report from the doctor, whatever that storm is in your life right now, Jesus is with you in it, He's walking you through it, don't be afraid, He says, it's me. Lord, we just come to You today with all the storms in our lives, everything, Lord, that is scaring us and weighing us down and keeping us, Lord, from focusing on You. And I pray You just clear all that away. We just thank You, Lord, that You are powerful. You walk on storms. You eat storms for breakfast. Lord, they are nothing to You. They're everything to us. And You know that. You know we're in a storm. You know we're in the darkness. You know that we're scared. And we're looking to You today. We just bring every one of these two storms, Lord, right now. We name it in the quietness of our own hearts to You. In Your presence, we speak that, Lord, in our hearts. This storm, we give it to You. We surrender it to You. And I pray, Lord, You just take our eyes off of that and put our eyes on You. We just thank You, Lord, that You love us so much. Thank You. You'll never leave us or forsake us. You will be with us through the very end of the world. All these things we ask in Your name. And thank You. Amen.